it snort. Spark where predators mark. Any record that can shred it apart. Check the live talk, sidewalk slang, make your mind warp. Five off my lines pop off like 90 wine corks. Serve a rapper a side of fries with coleslaw. My crew hold it down like, hold on, hold on. Ultra magnetic, track record, read it on Reddit. The heat is on, beat is on, set it.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening. This is the I Want More Comics podcast. I'm Richie.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Zach.
That's right. We're on episode 29.
Yep,
29. Of our fantastic little...
How did that happen?
Train that could...
How did that happen?
I don't know. It's just burning fast at this point.
Yes.
Speaking of fast, we are getting ready for the Grand Prix, the Denver Grand Prix. So we and all of our equipment is needed in use. So we're going to try to have a speedy podcast. So let's get right to the news.
All right. So in the news, DC just released a new magazine called Correct Currents. It's going to be a new quarterly magazine that is going to be available at comic shops. It's going to be for free. Inside the new magazine, they have tons of great articles.
How much is it going to cost?
It's going to be free.
Free.
Free dollars.
Free dollars.
So no money.
F-R-E-E.
One of the big things that was brought up in this was they announced the villains for the Suicide Squad and Justice League crossover, which is going to be Maxwell Lord, Emerald Empress, Lobo, Dr. Polaris, Johnny Sorrow, and Rustum. So those are going to be the villains. They have some great articles about the new Justice League of America book. This is a new arc of All-Star Batman with Scott Snyder and Jock on a Mr. Freeze storyline, which is going to be really cool.
Scott Snyder and Jock, just FYI. That's fantastic.
Yep.
Cold front. Can't wait.
Also, this past week, they announced the creative teams for the new X-Men books. Generation X will be written by Christina Strain, art by Emil Carpena.
Awesome.
The leader is going to be Jubilee, and the team is going to be Quinn Quire, Bling, I-Boy, Benjamin Deeds, Nature Girl, and a new character, Hindsight.
That's interesting.
Iceman is going to be written by Cena Grace.
Okay.
With art by Alessandro Vitti.
Uh-huh.
The X-Men Blue is going to be written by Colin Bunn with art by George Molina. That team's going to be Cyclops, Iceman, Beast, Angel, and Magneto as the mentor figure.
Interesting.
X-Men Gold is going to be written by Mark Guggenheim with art by Artie and Sayaf. And that team's going to be Storm, Colossus, Nightcrawler, Rachel Gray, and Kitty Pryde is going to be the leader on that one.
This feels like that vampire movie where you're like on one team.
That's right.
Like I'm Team Edward.
Or it's kind of like the 90s when they did this originally.
I was going to say.
That's right.
No, I'm gonna be Team Gold.
Okay.
Wait, what
is this
team
like
are
a
you?
Pokemon thing?
Now I'm lost completely.
Also teased this past week is that Valiant has teased an Exo Manowar series for 2017.
Yes.
It's a shot of the helmet and it says War is Coming, 2017. So we don't know much more about it than that.
It's a prequel to Fallout, the video game.
There you go.
That'd be intense.
But
I'll be outside.
But yeah, so that's
I think that's War Never Changes.
That's kind of the things that have happened the
past
week.
That's excellent. All right, burn through that.
Burn.
It's gone. Now let's do our picks of the week.
Well, technically, the second time I think that we've
this
done
is the second
a
time,
pick
yes.
of the week because we all unanimously agree that we like this book.
It's just, you can't pick anything else, right?
Scott Snyder, Jeff Lemire,
yep.
AD After Death.
That's right.
It's a 3-book series. It's only going to be 3 books.
Yep.
And it is a hefty read.
Yes.
It's a beefy one. I mean, it's thick, man.
It feels like they finally let Scott Snyder
There's pros
just do
in
what
there.
He needs to.
There's all kinds of good stuff in there.
All I needed to see was Snyder and Lemire, and the book was bought. Like, they already had my money.
Yep.
And
it came flying off the shelf and hit you in the eye.
It did.
And it blinded you for life.
And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Like an abused girlfriend. I know it's my fault. It's fine. I love this book.
Wow. We do not hear. And I want more comments. You don't such actions.
When it comes to this literature, absolutely. It's just
man does not represent us.
It's so good, guys. The book is a must read for anyone that even remotely likes either of these two icons. in the industry. I think it...
I could just see them high-fiving after writing each part.
Right, just like, we are awesome.
Wi-Fi high-five.
Yep.
I mean, it takes you on a journey through a lot of inner monologue, a lot of meta questioning, which Snyder's just great at.
I like the questioning of, they've cured death, and if you're living forever, where do you go?
Right.
Do you get bored? Mm-hmm. Do you become complacent? How do you further your life?
Right. Well, it's a
when
it's
your
a
job lasts 80 years right. from one job.
It's a challenge of the biggest fear that we as humans have, and then when that challenge is gone, what then remains the new challenge? Is it finding a spark to move forward, or is it saying, you know what, screw this, let's hit the reset button? We did wrong. Well, I
mean, how many times can you actually listen to Justin Bieber in your life?
Right.
It's going to be too many after a while.
So it's fantastic for
not
me.
Not even once.
The book itself is very, it's much bigger than.
It's magazine size.
Yeah, it's a magazine size where we couldn't put it in the hold slots. We had to keep it on side.
Yeah, the formatting's different. And I like the fact that they made the kind of cover look all beaten and worn.
Yeah.
Like it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, because people in there have been around for a while.
Exactly. So. We've actually had people like say, oh, this is really beat up. Do you have like a better one?
No, it's supposed to be this way.
It's fine. So if you haven't heard about it, it's AD After Death, Book 1, Image Title, Scott Snyder, Jeff Lemire, must buy.
Yep, it's a hefty read, too.
All three of us. Oh, it's a commitment book.
Did you fit all both of you guys? Yeah. Because the funny thing is I read this as a PDF like a month ago, and it took me three different days in the store to get through it all.
Me 3 days
because I'd get busy talking to customers and stuff, and I'd forget about it, and I'd come back to it the next morning and be like, oh yeah, I was here on this book. I guess I should read
tomorrow. I read the first half as a PDF, but then didn't have enough time until the book came out to sit down and read it at home, and now I want to sit down and read it again from the beginning all together because it's such a meaty read that I need to wrap my head around it.
I read it it came out right before Thanksgiving, so I read it halfway through a Thanksgiving dinner and then the next day.
Nice. Yeah,
it's brilliant. It takes you on a journey, and that's all I ever want to be, is immersed. And it's thought provoking and fun and dark. And
for $6, it's worth the price of admission.
Absolutely.
Ridiculously,
there's so much to read in here. It's not this is $6 and I'll be done within 5 minutes.
No.
That's not going to happen there.
Yeah. So if you enjoy a thick read with high intelligence and direct delivery of all the fun bits like science fiction and things like that, this is it's here for
it
you.
It might be the one for you.
Yeah. AD After Death. And that is our triple pick right there.
Yep.
Again,
we tripled down.
That is
the second time we've tripled down.
The second time.
Yep. 7 to Eternity being the first.
Yep. 7 to Eternity and...
Which, holy crap.
Yeah, that's still one of the best comics out there. So, there you go. That's our picks of the week. And with that, we move on to Spinning the Racks.
Spinning the Racks.
Spinning the racks.
Yep, so...
we're going back in time to spin some older racks that we talked about originally.
Yes. Yeah, so what we wanted to talk about in this episode is that we wanted to do DC Rebirth 6 months later.
Correct.
How are we feeling about it? What are we liking? You know, personally, how's it going in the store? You know, just the things that we've noticed over the past 6 months of Rebirth. Because we did a couple shows when we first started the podcast.
That's what I like about Rebirth in general with this podcast, is that Rebirth and this podcast are pretty close.
Yes, they are.
Yep. I want to say it's like our third or fourth episode was Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting. We're doing a 6 month retrospective on Rebirth. And this podcast has been going on for about six months.
Yep.
So
yeah, absolutely.
It's been that long. You just keep making me talk into this microphone.
Keep talking.
So I guess we should just start off with how are we feeling about Rebirth now? We were super excited when it came out.
Uh-huh.
We thought that they were, especially the one shot. And when we did our midnight event, which if you didn't listen to that, you can go back, find that episode, which was a lot of fun. We were very excited about the upcoming books, what they were going to be doing.
Right.
So how do we feel about it 6 months later now? Do we think that they hit it? Do we think they missed it? Are they, you know... What are you thinking?
As a broad question, I believe they hit it. I think everything they set out...
I would tend to agree with you.
Yeah, everything they set out to do, on a broad stroke, yes. I would say they've done. They've created a world where they didn't lose every single New 52 fan, but they did bring in and open the doors back for every person that enjoyed, you know, the 90s and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. If you love 90s DC, this is your wheelhouse. This is this should be pretty easy for you to jump right back into, kind of get into.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not just 90s. I mean, it's a little bit broader than that.
It's the history of the DC.
It's everything. If you were an avid fan in the 90s, that means you were embracing the long history that was DC in general. And this hones to that. But, again, it didn't throw away New 52.
No.
Which is an important shift that we really did focus on when it came to Rebirth, was that it wasn't a complete universe kill. They didn't hit a reset button.
No, in fact, it was a universe opening. Right. In fact, the entire point of it was what Grant Morrison was trying to do in Multiversity, which was saying that it all matters.
Yeah, they opened the entire sandbox into what they wanted to play with.
The pre-Crisis on Infinite Earth stuff matters. The after the Crisis on Infinite Earth stuff matters. The New 52 stuff matters. It's all part of the same thing. It's all the DC universe.
Right.
So
yes, I think that Rebirth did accomplish everything it was trying to do 6 months later. Yes. I think there have been slight fallings, things that aren't as strong as others, and as they continue to hone in on that, I think that it changes the game on how comics can be produced.
Yeah, well, and one of the biggest things that I'm still surprised with, and one of the things that I was really nervous about when it was starting up, was the shipping twice a month.
Yes.
I thought that, fans were going to get tired of that. I thought that, B, the stories were going to maybe suffer for that.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 months in, I don't think that's the problem at all. In fact, I think that DC, if you're a DC reader, as we've talked about it a couple times, has remolded our brains to getting this fix every couple weeks. So now when we read a monthly comic...
we have customers that come in and go, why is this so late?
Well, like,
I'm like, it's not late. It comes out once a month.
Well, like All-Star Batman.
Oh, yeah.
All-Star Batman.
That was one I get the complaints on the most, actually.
That's a monthly book. It was stated from the beginning it was a monthly book.
Yeah.
But honestly, it feels late every time it comes out.
Absolutely.
Because of the way that it is now. Well, with the
Batman double shipping. Detective or every other week.
Every other week.
And then randomly, oh yeah, here's an All-Star Batman book.
So
remember 30 days ago?
And I was afraid that, and I mean, there's definitely been some drop-off. You know, there was people in the beginning that were buying tons of stuff.
This will always...
always happen.
Anytime you do a reset like this, you're going to get everybody who wants everything out of the gate.
Yes.
And then after this many months, it's going to settle into what the actual sales are.
Right. Yeah, they're going
to
settle into
this is where you're at. This is what your readership is. And people are going to jump from one thing to another, and they're going to shift to other books, because nobody can afford to buy an entire company's worth of books every month. You just can't.
No.
It's too expensive.
And I was actually talking about this earlier today in the store about how I still think that it's a huge success because the 10 years I've been doing this as a comic book, you know, retailer, the most issues of Superman that we were selling at a time, you know, consistently, was about 30 issues, and that was when Straczynski took over for when Superman was going to walk the Earth. That's when we had people that never read Superman that were jumping onto that, right? Mm-hmm. 30 was probably about the biggest.
Right.
Then with New 52, we were getting in the 75 copy range, which was crazy.
Right.
Now we've settled down, but it's still about 50 copies every 2 weeks on Superman. Right. So, you know, is it 75 like it was for the first couple? No, but still there's more people reading. Good, yeah, they're still reading more. And they're reading it twice a month.
Yeah.
It's not just once a month. So I'm really impressed with that, as a retailer, because that was my biggest concern. My biggest concern was when you got around issue 12 and people were I mean, we all do it. Every, I'm sure you listening right now, you're sitting there going, oh, I have a stack that I need to read.
Stack.
Yeah.
Stack, or, that would be nice.
Or yeah, or boxes, right. like some of us. A backlog. Right. And that can get frustrating. Why should I continue to buy Batman every 2 weeks when I'm...
I kind of, at this point in my life, I think I want to curl up in my bed and have people just read to me.
Well, that would be pretty
Show
cool.
Show me the pictures.
That'd be pretty nice.
I think that would be pretty cool.
There's a market for that somewhere.
So, as a retailer, that's something that's impressed me is that it's definitely plateaued, but the plateau is consistent.
Yeah,
it's not wacky where this issue we sell a lot of and this one we don't sell a lot of. No, it's Batman who buys it. Everyone buys Batman. They buy it every couple weeks. It doesn't really change.
Weirdos.
And that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, I agree. And with that, I think we should talk about the titles themselves.
Yeah. I was going to say, what titles are you reading? What are you thinking about them? Because I got to tell you, some of the titles really surprised me.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff, and we've talked about in our picks of the week here, of course, but some of the books, you know, as a Superman fan, I was expecting to like the Superman books. I mean, that's the thing, but how good, especially like Superman and Action Comics have been, people who don't like Superman, like I do, read them. And I'll tell you, I mean, I'm biased, but I will tell you that this has been some of the best Superman written stuff in a long while,
yeah.
I think. And like I said, you are actually picking up Superman right now.
Yeah, the first time in my entire comic book collecting history, I'm picking up Superman because I care about the story.
Yeah, and
it,
I mean...
It's mostly the writing.
Oh, yeah.
Gleason
and Tomasi.
Just... They're my favorite writers when it comes to fun, lighthearted,
oh, yeah.
direct action.
Well, and Tomasi is so good, and he's always been so good, whether he's writing Batman and Robin uh-huh. or Green Lantern Corps, at just hitting that emotional nail
yeah.
for people. Uh-huh. Whether that's, you know, with Damian, whether that's with Kilowog, or, you know, whoever it is, he understands the emotion of the character, and he drives that home, uh-huh. which... It's a hard thing to do, and I think it's really good, and that's why I think, like I said, people come in and say they buy Superman because of Jonathan Kent and the relationship, mm-hmm. you know, the father and son relationship, and they said that's why they read every, you know, 2 weeks.
Right. And keeping with that Superman theme, how has Supergirl and Superwoman kind of gone through that?
So Supergirl is very much a course correction into kind of what the TV show is. It's not a direct carbon copy where it's like, oh, the exact same characters, even though there are some characters that are right. in the show that are showing up in the comic. But it has that same kind of tone, that same kind of feel.
Which I think is slightly better than the new 52 Supergirl that kind of really didn't know her ass from her elbow.
Yeah. The new 52 Supergirl was angsty and was trying to figure out how to become a hero.
Right.
And the book was about her trying to figure all that out. This one is more fun. More her being a superhero, her dealing with the drama of being a super
right.
with you know, all the villains and all the Kryptonian, you know, mm-hmm. mythology and all that sort of stuff that they put in there. Superwoman was one of the titles that isn't selling a ton.
Right.
I love it. Because, and I brought this up when I reviewed the first one, is that it's really a throwback to old school comics.
Okay.
You got a Superwoman.
Right.
And she's, the adventures that she goes through, it's just an homage to a lot of, like, Silver Age kind of comics. And I'm not talking about just, it's not like campy where it's, you know, over the top just to be silly. But some of the things that they do, some of the way that the book is presented, some of the way that Phil Jimenez draws the book.
Right.
It's fun superhero soap opera,
yeah.
which is kind of the old school 70s, 60s, even 80s to a lesser extent. So I love that book, and I think that if you're a fan of that kind of old school storytelling,
mm-hmm.
at least some of it,
mm-hmm.
That one's really good.
I agree. With that, we'll move into my
the Bat books. Well, see, and I was going to bring that up is that as a Superman,
you guys pretty much between the two of you read most of DC the new stuff, right?
Yeah.
I pick up
between the two of us. I think we both have read everything.
I pick up every single book except for one.
I pick up. So, except for
the only one that I do not pick up is Harley Quinn, and that's not a bash on that book. One of the things with me is that I'm kind of an old school kind of guy.
Yeah,
I didn't realize this till many years ago when people said, "Hey, you're just a traditionalist," and I went, "No, I'm not. Oh, yeah, I am." my Harley Quinn is the one from the animated series.
Right,
that's the one that I love.
Mm-hmm.
When I've read other comics, like in Hush.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn's great in Hush. I love that.
Right.
I think that's fantastic. The new one is for a new crowd that wants somebody a little bit, you know, a star of her own book.
More empowered. More self-empowered.
And more funny. There's more comedy in there. And I just kind of really enjoyed her as being, just kind of a crazy villain in Batman's world. Like the way she was done in the Suicide Squad movie, I enjoyed. I didn't mind that at all.
Right.
So it's not a Harley Quinn, I don't like her thing. It's just that book did not grab me.
Yeah, and for me,
that's the only one you're not reading.
That's the only one, yeah. Because, like I said, it's just.
Everybody knows I'm not exactly a. Mainstream publisher.
And we're going to get to that because I know you read some. You're very selective, and I want to hear what you read. But
extremely selective.
but one of the big things with me is that I'm a huge Superman fan,
uh-huh.
And when this started up, I was not expecting to love Batman and Detective Comics as much as you want to say it. There is a lot of people, and we've talked about this on the podcast and in private about Batman, and a lot of people after reading Scott Snyder had such a hard time
transitioning
because this is kind of like old school, again, what Rebirth's kind of all about, old school Batman storytelling. Jim Aparo, Denny O'Neill,
yes.
You know, that kind of Batman being a true superhero, colorful villains, colorful locations, fun adventures, sometimes dark adventures, but that up and down kind of fun superhero aspect of it. Uh-huh. It's not just rooted in the mythology and the philosophy of Batman like Snyder's New 52 run was, because that was all about the mythology and who Batman is and who's Batman to us as readers, to people of Gotham, to the family members. It's not bogged into that
meta
meta kind of stuff. It's more, here's a villain, how's Batman going to get out of it? It's kind of that old school, and I love that. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, so I know that you're a little bit behind on the reading on Batman, so I don't want to give it two way, but that colorful hero thing, it shifted with this new Bane storyline.
Which, again, I love Bane.
It's incredibly dark. One of the most interesting takes I've seen is that he's got Santa Prisca. Like, he's...
Okay.
He runs it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
People have to come to him like a king.
Okay.
And his throne is a bunch of skulls, and he sits on it naked.
Wow.
Just super... That's awesome.
Why wouldn't you?
Huh?
Why wouldn't you?
I mean, it's pretty intense. And he's... So...
That's awesome.
Yeah, so... Bronze Tiger, like, brings in an offering to Bane, and Bane's just... naked on a throne of skulls and just is super imposing, and it's fantastic writing. It also has the new kind of relationship that the Catwoman and Batman will have, because mm-hmm. Catwoman's been kind of missing
this whole Rebirth
thing. Mm-hmm. So they're reintroducing her, and they give a backstory to her in this.
Gotcha.
Really excellent writing. Tom King is killing it even further with this. I liked Gotham Girl, the storyline.
Oh, yeah. I love that first storyline, because I was not expecting that to be what that story was about.
Yeah, so we went through that. We moved into Monster Men, and I understand a lot of people leapt off of Monster Men. It wasn't their thing, and that was a niche writing style. It was for people that wanted to see, like...
It's monsters, and...
At one point, they all jump into Wayne Tower, like... buildings, and it's almost like a Power Ranger defense system. All the Wayne Tower buildings have their symbols on it, so they can shoot the giant monsters.
Yeah.
It is it's a rough chew, okay? But if you're a fan of Batman like I am, which means that you can kind of do no wrong, I'm okay with watching Batman do any type of monster fight.
Well, and going back to what I think that's so great about this shipping schedule with what they do now,
yeah,
is that storyline lasted a month, 2 months?
Yeah, no, it was like a month and a half.
Like a month and a half.
It was like 6 issues total.
It was six issues total. So that's
a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2, 4, 6.
Yeah. So if you didn't like it, if that was not your favorite, then it was only a month.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a year.
Yeah.
It wasn't 2 years of a storyline.
Oh.
It was, now you're onto this Bane, which I've heard, I'm behind on the Bane one.
Right.
But I've heard nothing but great things. I look at it every time it comes out, and I go, this is fantastic, because I love Bane. I grew up like you, loving Bane. So
Nightfall for the win.
Kids.
So, no, not Nightfalls. I love that. But anyway, I love that. That's one of the things I love about just all across the books is that they're doing so many different things. They're doing so many different stories, and it's really cool to be able to get that kind of content. The Gotham Girl and Gotham's storyline was the first 5 issues, which was only, you know, 10 weeks or whatever.
No, it was 2 months.
Two months. And I really enjoyed that story, and now we're moving on to something else, and I love that. But anyway.
It's fantastic. Moving from there to Detective Comics, which...
Okay. So...
Detective Comics is just...
Yeah, and...
James Tynion...
Oh, man.
...needs a big hug book. And a kiss.
It's a team book, and again, as a DC fan, I love history. People a lot of times say, why are you a DC fan? Why do you like that over Marvel or whatever? And I go, I just love the history. I love the legacy of characters. I mean, all comic book stuff has some of that in there, but DC really embraces that more.
Uh-huh.
And so I love about Detective is that they bring in so many of these different characters from all across of Batman's history.
James Tynion loves Batman legacy.
Yes.
He seems to love the Batman family.
Yes.
So I'm just going to rattle off this team that's gone in so far. Ready?
Yep.
We got Batman, obviously.
Yep.
Batwoman.
Yep.
Batwing just showed up.
Yep.
We have Spoiler. We had Red Robin.
Yep.
We have Orphan, which is old school Batgirl, Cassandra
Cain. Yep.
You have Bluebird, New 52, that showed up. Azrael just showed up.
Yep.
And
Clayface. And I mean, and when they announced Clayface as one of the people on the team, I went, that's awesome. Because, and again, we've talked about this before, but Batman has the best rogues gallery ever. And I think even Marvel or DC fan will say that. But some of the characters, they haven't gotten a lot of love. And growing up with the animated series, I loved Clayface.
Right. Well, and the thing about Clayface in general is that he's kind of wacky, and Tynion admits that he's really in there for kind of a plot-moving device or something that you can uniquely write. And
he's kind of relief.
Every single time that he's written Clayface in, he's done something with the element of Clayface that was not only unique, but progressive enough that I think it will stick around in Batman lore for all time.
Sure. I mean,
it's very X-Men, but it adds like the Thing or something like that.
Sure.
That creates this big powerhouse that can do anything you want in your team book.
Yeah. Well, and
the Mudroom is my example.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They use his clay to create essentially a danger room.
Yes.
But it's with Clayface,
so he can make mini Jokers coming at people.
Correct.
And doing
so that's
that.
Their fighting area.
Well,
arena.
And
it's the Mudroom.
It was in one of the first couple issues. And this is a minor spoiler alert, but it's one of the things I loved about the book.
Oh.
I mean, it's really minor, but one of the things in the very first couple books, when Clayface is watching one of his old movies, because he used to be an old movie star.
Yeah, he's not giving anything away.
Before he, turned into Clayface.
Yeah.
And Batman says, hey, you know, we gotta go. He says, can I just finish this movie? Because it makes me feel human again, or whatever. And you're like, and that was that. Bringing that character down to an emotional level, and I went, wow. It's you know, they talk about it all the time. Oh, he used to be an actor, and now he, right. you know, they did that in the animated series. But right. just that one page that they did in Detective Comics, I went, oh, yeah, the writing on this is stellar. So, yeah
it's
I agree.
Good stuff. So Detective Comics is just killing it. I move into Batgirl. Batgirl's story, Albuquerque's illustrating, and it looks fantastic. Great. I really wanted to show you a panel. I didn't bring it in, but there's this panel, because we talk about facial expressions a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's a panel where Batgirl has to take a plane ride. And she's sitting next to one of those obnoxious people you don't want to sit next to. And he starts hitting on her. And she has to give this, like, kind of smile. And the illustration on it is just so pitch perfect. I totally was like, oh, Sean needs to see this. The illustration's been great. The storyline was, in my opinion, forgettable. But on point, it did do something. But I do like the direction of it being more her kicking ass and taking names and being smart. There is an element in there that is a spoiler that I won't give away that I think people should read about her photographic memory.
Oh, yeah.
And because she has that
memory.
Yeah. And she's going to be, she uses that, and it's like this new trick that she learns. And it's the, when she does use it, it's really great. And I think that's why the book itself, the storyline, kind of fell for me.
I'm not reading this. Is it still Batgirl of Burnside?
It is.
Batgirl?
Yeah. But she's not acting like the new 52 Batgirl of Burnside.
Well, yeah, because it's a different creative team.
Correct.
I know that.
But. Yeah.
So she goes and tries to learn this new thing, and it's really incredible how she's trying to manipulate it.
Yeah, and then there's Batgirl and the Birds of Prey.
Yeah, which has been great.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
A Birds of Prey book, it's not as good as a team book as Detective, unfortunately.
No, no, I say that, but it's still cool seeing Huntress and Black Canary.
Correct. And it is nice to have Black Canary back in a way that she, I enjoy, more aggressive, very kind of... She's the fuddy-duddy of the group. Like, she's, you know, this is the law, and this is how we stick to the law, and things like that.
And that's, that's what we do.
Batman Beyond is written by Mr. Dan Jurgens.
I love the Dan Jurgens,
And they brought back McGinnis.
McGinnis, yeah.
So, that's good. I did like the old, I guess the new 52,
The old new 52?
Where it was Tim Drake future. In the future.
Right. I did enjoy that, and... So then I'm going to move into Nightwing.
Ah, yep. Mm-hmm.
Nightwing has been great. Nightwing's a character that I think written well kind of... It's nice when they try to avoid trying to be Batman again.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already brought up on one of our podcasts that it was one of my picks of the week.
Yep.
The love story between him and Barbara and how they kind of still go back and forth and how great that is. And... in this case, he takes on a mentor, and that mentor has a shady past, and then issues occur, and more challenges arise for Nightwing. Gotcha. What I enjoy about it is they don't throw away any of the Grayson stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they add in his now lore of being involved with the Court of Owls.
Oh, okay.
And the fact that the Court of Owls are like a
thing.
Yeah, a thing that.
Oh, yeah. No, they're popping up.
They're just great.
Yeah.
I can't... It's so nice to see the Court of Owls being a part of Gotham the show. They're a staple now in his rogue gallery.
Yeah, they're going to go down in history all time. Yeah.
And now it's a very accurate point of Nightwing's story, being that he was supposed to be raised to be an assassin, a talent. I like that part, and I like the progression of Nightwing having to challenge that. So they really play off of that, and the book has been stellar. It's been hushed by the shadow that is Batman and Detective Comics.
Sure.
But it is a solid book.
Yeah, and if you there's a lot of people who loved the previous Nightwing books.
Yes.
I said, well, you gotta read the new Nightwing.
Yeah.
Because it's in that
it's
same
just Nightwing. Thing. It's straight up Nightwing from before he went to the Red.
Yes.
Where everybody was angered.
The one I want to talk about really quickly is All-Star Batman.
Okay.
Because we've had conversations I've enjoyed All-Star Batman, but yes. I didn't put it up. I actually was one of those people who said Batman and Detective is better than All-Star Batman.
Right.
I'm not saying it's not great. I'm still saying it's one of the top books. But you say which Batman book I should read? I say all Batman or Detective.
Right, which was a disappointment for you being that Two-Face is one of your absolute favorites.
Yes, yeah, so Two-Face is probably my favorite villain of Batman's. Uh-huh. So, but then... To get ready for the podcast, I tried to catch up. I did not succeed, but I got pretty far. And I read All-Star Batman 1 through 4 together.
Yes.
I read issue 1, I read issue 2, and then 3 and 4 came out, and I just let it sit on the back burner because 1 and 2, I was like, oh, it's fun. It's, yeah. You know, it's okay. But when I was reading them monthly, I said, oh, this is just kind of... I get that Snyder wants to do a fun adventure over the top with, like, you know, explosions and Batman just kicking butt. And that's fun, but I don't know. Yeah.
Cal knives.
Which was cool.
Awesome.
Which was very cool.
But, way better and cool. Awesome.
But then when I sat down and I read all four of them together... Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it a lot more.
Right.
Because I saw what he was going for. I saw some more of the... And again, I'm not trying to be one of those people who says, oh, it's not like the New 52, so it's not good. But I was hoping for a little bit of some of the Scott Snyder-ness of it.
Right.
And that has started to leak in, mm-hmm. in the, issue 3 and 4. And when you read it all together, you see more of the arc.
Right.
So I really enjoy that book, and my tune has changed. I think it's up there still with it. But, yeah, I'm very excited to
That's a fair thing to bring up, again, with it competing against its own Rebirth distribution policies. It changes the pattern in which you're reading these comics.
Yeah.
And where All-Star, I think, if we were reading it under the New 52 distribution policies, it would feel like it's happening a lot faster. And that book, as you read them in a row, it almost feels very snappy.
Yes, it did.
Bang, shoot, boom.
Oh, yeah, I sat and I read through them during a commercial break while watching a football game. I was just like,
but you can see
bang.
That the cadence of the book is fast-paced.
Yes, it is.
But with the new distribution, mm-hmm. and things like that, it changes, it almost shifts the entire mood of the story,
yes.
where you're like, that's not good enough to hold me for 30 days.
Yeah.
Especially when I have Batman and Detective Comics and Action Comics and Superman just spewing all over me every 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that...
I want it now.
Yeah.
Well, and I do think that that's... And I do think that they rewired my brain that way.
Yeah.
Because I think that if All-Star Batman had come out, you know, a couple years ago, I'd be going, you know, wow, next issue, when's that going to come out? Cool, let's do it.
Right.
But now I'm like... This was...
Where is All-Star Batman? Oh, right. All-Star Batman, right.
Yeah, yeah. So, but reading them together, I just absolutely loved it.
I will say that when this thing comes out in trade form, it's going to be...
Oh, yeah.
Hot.
Well, and that's things that I can't wait to sit down and read it all together. So, then...
Last one, Red Hood.
Yeah.
Red Hood has been great. I almost didn't buy the book because I didn't like the side characters.
Well, and one of the side characters is my boy.
Right, Bizarro.
Yeah. I love Bizarro, man. Bizarro's one of my favorite supporting characters from Superman.
But it's only been out, I think it's only on issue 4 at the moment, and it has captivated me so far. I can't talk too much about the story because there's not much to tell. They're kind of retelling the history of Red Hood, which they do every time they do a rebirth.
Rething, yeah.
Because his story is so complicated that you kind of have to add in, like...
But I gotta also say is that the thing that jumped out to me instantly was the art.
Oh, right.
The art on that book is
every panel's
awesome.
A poster to me.
Yeah, it's fantastic, the art on that. And then, I guess, well, I don't know, do we want to talk about Trinity?
There's only a couple of...
I mean, it's not a Batman book, it's not a Superman book, it's not a Wonder Woman book, it's a Trinity book.
We've talked about Trinity in general, and I think it still stays with the fact that this is the perfect example of what Rebirth is. You have the Golden Age Superman meeting with the New 52 Batman and Wonder Woman. The New 52 Batman and Wonder Woman have this whole story of 6 years that you can read now and know what they're feeling and thinking.
Yeah.
And then you have a Golden Age Superman that has none of that, but all of this thick 75-plus-year history of them together. And those kind of clashing into what can we turn this friendship into? Can we be as powerful as Trinity should be?
Yes. Well, and when this book came out, I was really looking forward to it because I like these characters together.
Right.
And I was really hoping that no matter which way it went, I hope it wasn't going to be too heavy. Right. Too Batman heavy, too Superman heavy, too Wonder Woman heavy. And it doesn't. It's all given equal time. The writing is really fun. And like you said, it's actually pretty classic in bringing up some of the past and the storytelling. And then the art.
Yeah.
Francis Manapul and Clay Mann are the artists on that book. And
another panelization book for me as well.
Oh, my word. Just, yeah. Whatever. Just
your eyes are being led everywhere it needs to be.
Yeah. It's, yeah, that's great. But that one, some people have not been reading that book.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, I don't want a team-up book. And it's not a team-up book.
I wouldn't say it's a team-up book. It's more of a relationship book.
Between all three of them.
Correct.
And if that, you know, and I think that's...
Have you read three yet?
I've not read three yet.
Oh, gosh. I'm not going to say nothing then.
That's fine. It's
fantastic.
I will, like I said, I tried.
Yeah, I know.
I've tried to get through it.
All right. So, real quick, I want to talk to Sean.
No.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I'm curious because I want to know, okay, so what books do you get out of the Rebirth? Which ones have...
Because we know that you're not a mainstream follower. But,
not very often, no.
Yeah, so...
But there are some that you get, so...
So with this, what are you following?
I will say I'm behind probably about 3 issues on each one of these books.
Which is pretty much... Which we've decided is pretty much...
Normal.
On schedule.
Normal.
Yeah.
If you're 2 or 3 books behind on Rebirth's
You're pattern, doing fine.
You're doing okay.
So, Action.
Yeah.
Detective.
Okay. Yep.
Hellblazer.
Talk about Hellblazer.
And then I get Vertigo books.
Yeah.
So...
Is this Hellblazer any... I know it's not Vertigo, and it can't be Vertigo.
They're never going to do Vertigo again.
Right, you can't just...
So, if you want that. Vertigo Hellblazer, just go read it.
Right.
Yeah.
So
Just start back at Hellblazer and read it.
But does this
one.
Do better than the new 52, right?
Yes. It's in between.
Okay.
I'll say that much. It's not as... Because they kind of... To me, when they watered him down so much, he almost got hokey.
Right.
And I was really not liking the character at all. And this is a character I've liked for a lot of years. And so you took Constantine, and you took the Constantine out of Constantine, and you make him homogenized for American audiences. Right. And it's like, what are you doing? This is not this character.
Yeah.
You know? So when they tried
Chris
to make
Angel
him,
of the DC Universe.
Family friendly, they made him that. I was like,
ooh, edgy.
What are you doing?
Look at you.
And he's like, I'm so edgy. I'm like, no, you're not.
not really.
My grandmother's more edgy than you, but that's cool.
Right.
So with this new stuff, they're definitely doing better. Like I said, I still love the original Vertigo run.
Yeah,
the 300 Vertigo run is probably never going to be topped. It was just, the whole entire thing was just good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you make it more of a, you try to make it a little more of an all ages audience. I think they're going more PG-13 now, probably.
Right.
But at least it's that.
Yeah,
at least
he
it's
did
back
get popular
that.
Enough to be like in all these comics. So
the old animated movie
become the. But there's a way to do it because, Bane is naked on a throne of skulls.
So they have more of the essence
edgy.
Of the character than they had before. I'll say that.
Yeah, no, I will agree that this Hellblazer is as edgy as it can be. Getting. To the Vertigo.
Right.
Unless you just play making a Vertigo book.
Right.
They are skirting that edge of just, like I said, the very first issue, he basically talks down to the audience. Right. And I really enjoyed that because it was like, wow, okay, he's kind of being a butthead right now. And that's kind of how he is. So that was good. That was good.
He has his moments.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well,
but like a lot of the other books I don't read.
Right.
Honestly. I mean, I'm not reading Batman because I didn't care.
Right.
I'll be honest with you.
Well, yeah, but you are reading Detective. So I want to hear about what you liked about Detective
I
or
like
Action Comics.
So for me, my favorite Bat character is always going to be Batwoman.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
Did you hear what the new arc is? It's Batwoman Begins.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it should be...
Well, and then I was going to talk about it...
But I don't... Like, I understand later, that Batman's got a huge, really good rogues gallery.
Yeah.
I jump in and I jump out.
Yeah.
So I'm in and I'm out. If it's a good story, I'll check it out and I'll read it.
Right.
And then right when it starts being something I don't want to read, I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm gone that fast.
I understand.
And that's with all DC books. And a lot of them I tried to read the first issue. I couldn't get past the first issue personally.
And I understand that.
So, because I did not enjoy Flash, but right. I'm not a Flash man. I'm not a Flash person. I never have been.
Right.
I really didn't enjoy Green Arrow.
Right.
It was not for me. But I actually kind of loathe that character.
And we all have already talked about how Green Arrow the first week was the best seller.
So. That was all y'all, and that's cool. It just wasn't my cup of tea.
Awesome.
And the Green Lantern stuff, I since Blackest Night was long over now, kind of haven't cared since then.
Cool.
And I've dipped in and out and dipped in and out, and I keep trying to get back.
As you should do with, especially
check it out.
Mainstream comics are going to be there. That's one of the things, and they should have to fight for your attention when it comes to great storylines.
Well, see, and I'm more of like our pick of the week this week. Right. I'm more along those lines as far as storytelling, and I love books that have an ending. Basically,
you're not going to find an AD in DC.
No. This is not like you can find something like this kind of in the Vertigo books.
Yeah. You can,
It touches on stuff like this.
I could argue about Endgame, but I'm not going to.
There you go.
Because we're cut short on time. What I'm going to do is speed round real quick, and I'm going to name somebody, and you're going to talk about what you know and what you don't know.
Yes, and then at the very end, I think we should do one title.
Yes, one title.
One title, yeah.
You're asking me what I know and I don't know?
No, I won't. I probably won't.
Okay,
no,
I was going to say, I'm going to say I probably don't know.
He's
going
to talk to me.
I don't know most
Zach,
of this
Aquaman.
Stuff.
Zach,
so. Aquaman. Aquaman is fantastic. Dan Abnett is the writer. He's doing something totally different with Aquaman, something that nobody has ever done before.
Which ones that you think are bad?
And, well, no, but here's the thing.
Because you like all of these.
Well,
so it's kind of hard to be subjective for you.
Well, yeah. Well, and that's but see that's the thing. That's the thing with me though. With Rebirth is, for me as a DC fan,
right.
Not just a fan of some certain characters. I mean, of course, I'm a huge Superman fan, Batman, right. Flash, Green Lantern. Those are some of my top guys. Uh-huh. But I honestly, I swear to God, that I think that Rebirth as a whole has all been solid comic books.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that everything is gold and that you need to be reading every single thing. But I think that if you really want to read, I know you're going to say it here in a second, but if you are interested in Deathstroke, absolutely, I think the Deathstroke book is a really good book for somebody interested in Deathstroke. Right. If you don't like Deathstroke, you don't have any intention, and you don't really want that, then you don't need to read Deathstroke.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? The
correct.
Quality is at
like
a stable level.
If you like these characters, you can jump on
yeah,
and enjoy
yeah,
them.
Yeah, and the quality is at a stable level of good.
Right.
Of no matter what it is, in my opinion. So, right. Anyway, so Aquaman's something different. Dan Abnett brought in politics
right.
into Aquaman. And how that relates to the world, which is really fun and really different.
Yeah. Sean, Blue Beetle.
Yeah, I didn't read that.
I'm joking. Blue Beetle is good. I enjoyed it. I think it's
both Beetles, isn't it? Isn't it Cord and
Jaime Reyes?
Yeah, Reyes.
Watching Cord and Jaime actually communicate is something I've wanted since they created Jaime.
Yep.
So
yep.
Just seeing that is fantastic. It's an easy read. It's only two deep now.
It's only two deep. Because
it's a monthly.
That's
as well.
A monthly. So. Keith Giffen's the writer, and it's going to have that old school. Superhero.
It's funny because I actually really like Keith Giffen a lot.
Yeah.
He's got that weird, quirky sense of humor.
Yeah, and that's and that's in that book, too.
So. Does that keep it going with Cyborg?
So Cyborg is fun. It is written by the one of the chief creative consultants on the Spider-Man the Animated Series.
Right. And talk about a meaty read. The first three that I read, goodness gracious.
Yeah, the artwork's really good. The character, if you liked him from Teen Titans, anything like that, they delve more into that. They're delving more into him and the...
Love him in Teen Titans, go.
The meat of him as a character.
Excellent. Deathstroke, I'll take.
It's awesome. What's wrong with you?
Deathstroke has been fantastic. The thing about Deathstroke is I don't think that he had a... dip at all in New 52. There was one dip in a storyline, but outside of that one arc, I would say that he's been solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, solid.
When he was going against the gods at the very end of New 52, fantastic illustration. Was that Finch?
He's the best Deadpool that Deadpool can be.
He's way better than the... Oh, I ain't even going to say that. Oh, you almost sent me up the river, sir.
Yeah. Oh, I did. Oh, I wanted to see what was going to happen.
But I will say that if you like New 52 Deathstroke, you just follow this straight through. It's fantastic. And they're bringing in the same kind of thing. He's getting all these weird guest stars. The most recent one had some dude named Superman in.
Yep.
Yeah. I'd rather. I want the Beatles to show up.
Well, and also with Deathstroke, if you're like a fan, if you're a fan of the new Teen Titans from the '80s,
awesome,
they are doing homages and characters are coming back in that book. So anyway,
I am reading that book. That book fucking rules. Oh, pardon me.
Flash. That's you.
Absolutely love Flash. I am a Flash guy. So the thing I love about this book is that it definitely feels like a meaty run, like a Geoff Johns, a Mark Waid. Some people have called that a negative, but I really like them getting into the minutia of the supporting characters and his world.
Right.
So for as a Flash fan, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, you have picked Flash like 3 times.
Yes.
Tough picks of the week.
So I love the Flash. If you're a Flash fan, you have to read Flash.
Go keep on Arrow.
Green Arrow. If you're a fan of Green Arrow,
you will like this
book. You will like this book.
I agree.
If you're not, don't read it.
90 Green Arrow. I think it takes a lot into Black Canary.
Yep.
That relationship, which is really big in the Green Arrow universe, I think.
Yes.
Which the show is missing, but outside of that, it's really good. Green Lanterns. That's you, my friend.
So Green Lanterns, the thing about this book is that it's not written for the old school Green Lantern fans.
Yeah, this is a standpoint for New 52 book, I think.
And this is for new readers.
Yeah.
One of the things, I'm a huge Green Lantern fan, and I know a lot of Green Lantern fans over the years, and a lot of people were kind of turned off by this book. But my thing about this book is that this is for the new generation. Yeah. The coolest thing about Green Lantern, the mythology, is what Green Lantern, you know, who's your Green Lantern?
Right.
There are people out there that, you know, you like all the different characters, but you're a Hal guy. You grew up with Hal. You're a Kyle guy. You grew up with him. You're a guy. Guy.
You're a guy guy.
You're a guy guy. That's your Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And, you know, however you want to do that.
Right.
So for somebody who's old school, you know, John Stewart. Yeah, John Stewart's fantastic. But so these new characters are, there are going to be people that are going to pick up these books, and Jessica and Simon are going to be their Green Lanterns. Uh-huh. And then the other guys will fall in there. So they're doing something different. They're doing something that Green Lanterns hasn't done before. So
I mean, gosh, what if I want to read a Hal Jordan comic book?
Well, the best one for that is Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern Corps.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be your classic Kilowog, Guy Gardner, John Stewart, Kyle Rayner. That's where you're going to get that
and
from.
And that story
is awesome.
They're bringing in a lot of the Ring Wars into that and just kind of keep with that Geoff Johns feel of Green Lantern story.
Yep, classic Green Lantern.
I'll just mention real quick on Harley Quinn. I have read a few of them. I do enjoy the newer version of Harley Quinn, the one that has kind of spawned out on her own and kind of has to work past the fact that she's, you know, kind of abused and mentally issued. I like the viciousness than the unforgiven or unforgiving viciousness that they kind of write her with, the Connors do. And they've been killing it since New 52. Nothing has changed in that universe. It's just a full straight line all the way across. So they maybe have gotten a little more loose with their writing because of how great how popular the comic book actually is. They can get away with more, what I think. Moving down to Justice League, which we both can take on that.
Brian Hitch loves Justice League. Right. He's read it since he was a kid. He said in interviews that he has, and he's trying to bring back some of that Silver Age, big, colorful stuff into the world.
Since issue one, it has been nothing but giant, colossal attack after attack. And again, it has a little bit of that element of the New 52 group trying to deal with this new Superman that thinks he knows everybody.
Yep.
So that it's a great book, easy picks.
Great art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of great art, we moved to Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
Which is Jim Lee.
It is
a perfect Suicide Squad book. I think way better done than the New 52 series as a whole. I think it's easier to follow and
more of a classic feel of the Suicide Squad's supposed to be.
I think we're on issue 6, I want to say something like that. And the team has already changed because of
stuff
brutalization of the characters. They're just they're very nasty to them.
Yep.
That moves us into Teen Titans, and I love Teen Titans.
Yeah,
we got Damian being Damian, giving him his own book to kind of play around in there, and I think that's where he fits perfectly, building and creating him clashing against normal teenager superheroes is fantastic. That's why the Superman book works. If you like that Superman book, you will absolutely love Teen Titans. Easy pickup, fun, and I think it's going to turn into be a really great story. Moving into Titans.
Titans is going to be your classic team. That's going to be your Wally West, your Deanna Troi.
If you like Perez.
Yep. If you enjoyed that, this is going to be those characters. I'm older now. Great art by Brett Booth. That's a fantastic book for any Teen Titans fans at all.
And also, I think one of the key books, or like the key titles to follow for Rebirth.
Yep, absolutely.
It's a lot of Wally West in that, and you want to follow wherever he's going. So,
yep, absolutely.
Easy peasy. And then one we didn't mention, and we should, Wonder Woman. It's killing it.
Greg Rucka, he's written Wonder Woman before. He's fantastic. He's written Batwoman, which Sean really loves. He was the one who really brought that character, the new one, into fruition. So.
And Wonder Woman is the only title that's doing something with the distribution.
Yes, they are.
The odds are one story and the evens are another. They play it out kind of like the TV series Arrow does, where she has a story going on and then she'll go to flashbacks and and then those will intertwine to the next. So they'll do a flashback to tell you something for the story in the next Prime number, which is great. I think it's unique and it's fun to follow while you read it, and it's true to Wonder Woman, and I think Wonder Woman's going to blow up in the next 2 years. So it's
I agree.
It's true to form throughout the record. Yeah,
some movie.
God, does that movie look good?
Yep.
So from there, new Superman.
It's the guy who wrote American Board Chinese.
Right.
That's his book that he's doing a new take on Superman, and how does the Superman mythology. How is it common throughout all cultures, not just American culture?
Correct.
How is it going to be in an Asian culture? Excellent. So that's kind of the look on that.
All right, last minute, we are going to call out one book that you should be reading if you have not picked up any Rebirth at all. One book you need to start following and follow till the end? Mine is Easy Peasy Detective Comics. Grab it and go.
You and your Easy Peasy.
Go.
Me?
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo Apocalypse is fantastic. He's not even joking.
It's amazing.
It's really good. If you like.
I was huge when I, like I said, when I was in the meeting and Jim Lee was there and he was gushing over this book. I was like, "You're crazy, Jim.
You're just a psychopath.
You are crazy." And then reading it, I'm like, "Oh, okay, you might have been onto something there because this book is awesome."
Yeah, it really is good. I think it took everybody by surprise. It's fantastic.
It is a fun read, and it's not like I think kids could probably get away with reading it.
Yeah.
You know, if the adults think it's fine.
Sure. Yeah.
But the adults can read it and enjoy it. It's just an enjoyable book all the way around.
And then, I mean, for me, you took one of the ones I think I was going to pick. Because I definitely think that you should be reading Detective Comics. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
If you didn't pick it, I would have picked Detective Comics. But number two, I will go cliche, but it's true, Superman.
Yeah.
Peter Tomasi, Patrick Gleason. You got to love it.
He names the creative team every time.
It's great.
They're doing a Super Sons book, which is going to be written by Peter Tomasi, with George Jimenez going to be doing the art.
Nice.
It's going to come out of what they're doing in Superman. Fantastic book. You got to read.
I'll probably follow from there, from Superman to that.
Yeah, exactly. So Superman.
All right, guys. We are sorry we're cutting it early, but hopefully we got all of the Rebirth love we needed to. Until next time, we'll see you.
Yep. Have a good
week.
Stay sexy.